Hello, it's Tessa, one of the news editors here at Manx Radio, back today, Tuesday the 19th of March, to tell you about a protest that's been taking place in Douglas. Organised by the Manx branch of Amnesty International, it asked the question, why the silence? You won't, I'm sure, be surprised to know that it centres around the ongoing conflict between Israel and the Palestinian group Hamas, who have been at war since early October last year. Representatives from Amnesty International here say they believe the Isle of Man now needs to distance itself from the UK's position and have urged the island's parliament to support calls for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. They say despite months of lobbying MHKs and the Chief Minister directly, there's still been no public statement regarding the Manx position. The group adds it doesn't accept that the island is unable to speak out on international issues independently of the UK. Phil Matthews is the chair of Amnesty International Isle of Man and spoke to Manx Radio's political correspondent Phil Gorn from outside Tynwald.
Well, we attended the two big rallies in Douglas organised by Kirjeing Palestine, and we learned from that their ask was to write to your MHKs. And we offered to collate the responses. Only one MHK had a confidentiality clause in their email response, so we thought it was public. And we discovered that 16 MHKs supported what we were asking. 9 had spoken directly to the Chief Minister, asking him to make a statement. This all came from the original statement that the Chief Minister made as Chief Minister, not personally, in October, condemning the brutal Hamas attack, quite rightly. But since then, he and Tynwald have been silent on the atrocities that we've all witnessed over the last 5 months. Now, amnesty groups, we're the only amnesty group in the British Isles that hasn't organised an event. There's about 300 of them. So we can now go back to amnesty and say it's 100% amnesty around the Britain. We felt that the letter writing has been done, the contacting MHKs, contacting the Chief Minister directly, then contacting the Ministry of Justice, which we were advised to do, only to be told by the Ministry of Justice, you should be lobbying your own parliament. So we thought an action outside Tynwald this time, knowing we weren't going to get a huge turnout, but it is amazing the number of people that have been here today on a weekday.
And there are, I mean, still, we're getting on towards, well, I think the protest started about an hour ago,
yes,
didn't it?
Yes.
And there's still an awful lot of people here.
Yeah, we've just gone through a peak of far more than this, and I'm so grateful for the people who are staying around for this second hour now. People are coming and going, but they're from all sectors of society, and there's so many that have contacted us to say they wanted to be here, but they couldn't make it.
The reasonable argument that could be put, I presume, by the Chief Minister is the Isle of Man isn't really big enough to influence any global discussion on issues such as the one that you're protesting against. How would you respond to that?
But there is the butterfly effect. We're appealing to the next level of power above us, and they have power levels above them as well. Our international standing is important to us. We're part of international groupings, the British Irish Council, the fellow members, Scotland, Ireland, Wales immediately came out for demands for ceasefire. And another crown dependency, Jersey, has written a strongly worded statement to the UK government. We had a parliamentary delegation visit the Irish Parliament recently. We've just had a delegation visit Malta. Every British Commonwealth country has called for a ceasefire back in December. I just hope our representatives don't get asked at any point in these visits what is the Isle of Man's stance on this issue, because we are just saying for Isle of Man, see UK. But we need to distance ourselves from the UK at the moment, because the UK is isolated in the world. Maybe a handful of countries that are enabling the Israeli government and the Israeli Defence Force to carry out these atrocities. And the UK appears to be putting its own political and trading interests above the slaughter of tens of thousands of innocent people.
Why do you suppose then that if as you say, MHKs are generally supportive of some form of statement, why do you suppose that there haven't been calls on the Chief Minister in Tynwald to make a statement? There hasn't been any motions to Tynwald requiring a statement to be made. These things are all possible, and any member of Tynwald could put a motion down to that effect.
We have no idea, and that's why we're all here today, representing all those people who are asking exactly the same question. I'm even more worried about no MHK. Well, some MHKs have spoken out and they've publicly replied to us, but nobody's felt it was worth a formal part of the Timor proceedings at this stage. We don't know. We really do not know. We just wanted a statement. We didn't want motions or debates. We just want to know where we stand.
These people at the protest have both spent time in Palestine.
My name's Rosemary Clark. I'm here because I spent 3 months in Palestine, as long as 6 years ago now, but having had first-hand experience of the oppression that the Palestinians have been under, I wanted to come and stand and include my voice with the others.
My name is Phil Crane, and I was in the West Bank even longer ago, 10 years ago. Sadly, the situation hasn't changed much, at least not until 7th of October 2023. I was part of the same programme, being an independent, neutral, objective human rights observer.
And in relation to this protest, what is it that the protest is designed to achieve?
Well, I think it's under Amnesty International Isle of Man branch has gathered together today, really in anger and frustration that the Isle of Man government in particular has not denounced what's going on. I think, yeah, we must denounce the Hamas atrocities of 7th of October, but subsequent to that, we've seen 31,000 Palestinians killed in Gaza and counting. When I was out in the West Bank, I was stationed in East Jerusalem, and I witnessed then, and it's got worse since, but I witnessed then the demolition by the Israeli army and police of Palestinian homes. I witnessed the damage done by Israeli settlers uprooting Palestinian olive saplings. I witnessed one occupying power keeping another indigenous race firmly under the thumb.
And Rosemary, for yourself, I understand, you said you've spent some time in Palestine, and you witnessed a school being built?
It was actually a school that was demolished. We were told late in the evening that the Israeli forces had moved in to do this. But once they're in, it's a cordon, so you can't go in or out. So we decided to wait until daylight before we went. And when we got there, they had what they called dismantled this school. So if they were going to demolish it, they needed to go through the law courts. But this was the first time that they'd dismantled. It was a single-story building, so they took off the roof, they cut down between the supporting pillars and removed the side panels, they stripped it of its water tanks, of its toilets, of all of the furniture, almost everything from the staff room as well, and they put it on lorries and took it away.
And why did they do that? Presumably there must have been some reason.
They said it was because they hadn't got planning permission. So this school had been open for less than a month, but only 3% of all applications for planning by the Palestinians are accepted. So really, you stand no chance. They also said, but it was on an archaeological site. But actually, for thousands of years, people have been walking and living, moving around, having settlements or temporarily settling all over Palestine and Israel. So everywhere is effectively an archaeological site. And so this school had been donated even. It was the first school the village had ever had. It included a kindergarten, so the youngest children had never been able to have any educational support. And now it was all gone.
How can the Isle of Man actually impact on any of this? I mean, we're a very small country compared with most countries of the world. We witness even the very large countries that do have influence, those that do speak out about this, having no real impact. Why does it matter that the Isle of Man is involved?
Well, I imagine you've heard of the straw that broke the camel's back, and increasingly more and more people are saying it's got to stop. I mean, how can it be justified? As Phil said, 31,000 and more people dead, mainly civilians, mainly women and children. It's just got to stop. And sometimes it's difficult for us to put ourselves in a position where we can imagine that happening to us. But it could be. You know, these people are people. They want to live lives just like us. They're not all Hamas. I don't know how I would suggest that Israel behaves and manages to achieve any degree of making sure that what Hamas did never happens again. But this can't be the way to do it.
And Phil Crane, I mean, you must be encouraged by the turnout today.
Yeah, I would say there's 100 people here, and it's great to see the media here as well. I think there is an issue that if, as Rosemary said, the straw that broke the camel's back, and it may not give Netanyahu more sleepless nights than he's having already, that if the Isle of Man makes a statement, but increasingly to be silent is to be complicit. We can't just, we need to say this. There's an issue too, almost a constitutional issue, as the island seeks to have, to develop itself with its own international personality, if you like. It needs to be speaking out on these issues more and more. We can't just speak out when we happen to be in agreement with the UK. We can't write to our MPs. We don't have an MP at Westminster. So how, if we don't do international, where's the Manx voice?
The United Nations warned that famine is imminent in parts of Gaza, with 70% of the population in the north facing catastrophic hunger. Today, the US Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, says Gaza's 2 million people are experiencing severe levels of acute food insecurity. And of course, as we always do, Manx Radio has invited the Chief Minister and the Isle of Man government to respond to those calls from Amnesty International here on the island.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.